We're up to Mem Vav Amud Aleph. We are a few lines down. We're up to Rav Yaakov, new Gemara, brand new Gemara of Yaakov, Rabbi Zrika Amru. Okay, it's about a third way down the page. Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Zrika Amru, Halacha Krabiya. He's going to give us a set of rules. A set of rules for Psak Halacha. So here we go. So we're going to go slow. Mem Vav Amud Beis. One third down the page, the last two words on the line, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Zrika Amru, they said the following principle. Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mecha ve'roi. You have to memorize this Gemara. Whenever Rabbi Akiva in the Shas, it's a Shas Gemara, wherever Rabbi Akiva has an argument, and he argues against anyone, the halacha always follows Rabbi Akiva mecha ve'roi. Notice there's no yud between the reish and the vav. It's a little bit confusing. Mechavei roi or mechavei rav. When there's no yud, it's lashem yachid. So the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva when he argues against another yachid. Whenever Rabbi Akiva has machlokes with any tana, and it's a yachid versus a yachid, we follow the psak halacha, we follow the shita of Rabbi Akiva.
There's no yud where?
In between the reish and the vav. Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechaveiro, mechaveiroi, mechaveiro, mechaveiro. Right. Whenever it's singular. However, that what's the what does that mean? That means that if Rabbi Akiva argues with a rabbin, a tzibur, then halacha does not follow Rabbi Akiva; it follows the rabbin. Period. Next, this will become clear in a moment. B'Rabbi Yosi mechaveirov. You see the difference? Rabbi Yosi, it says Reish Yud Vav Mechavei Rav. Reish Yud Vav. Whenever Rabbi Yosi has a disagreement, we follow Rabbi Yosi no matter what. Even if any other place, member of the base. Even Rabbi Yosi, we follow Rabbi Yosi even when he has a disagreement with a rabbin. Okay, is this clear? Okay. What's wrong? Rabbi Yosi mechavei rav. Rabbi Yosi has a disagreement with Paschal like Rabbi Yosi, even when he argues against the rav. Period number three, third principle. Uchrebi mechavei rav. When Rebbe has a disagreement, we pass like Rabbi only when he argues against the yochid. So these are the yisoidus and shas. Rabbi Akiva and Rebbe. When Rabbi Akiva and Rebbe have a disagreement with other people, with other Tanoim, we pass like Rabbi Akiva, we pass like Rebbe. Only when they argue against an individual. But when Rabbi Yosi, Nimuko Imoy, the Gemara's Chazal say, his reasoning is with him, he's always on the mark, and Halacha will always follow Rabbi Yosi even when he argues against a Rab. Okay, fine. Now the Gemara wants the Lamai Hilch, so what is the purpose of telling me this principle? Why do I need to know this? The Gemara says, you know why? So the Gemara elaborates, Rabbi Asi Amar Halacha, this principle that we've just said, these three rules, is Mamish Halacha. This is the way it is. When you say halacha, it means if a rav makes a mistake, and he paskins ruin, let's say machlekes Rabbi Akiva, and let's say in Rabbi Yehuda, liyitzuya, halacha is Rabbi Akiva. Let's say a rav, he paskins, he tells the balabas, go like Rabbi Yehuda. And then the rav realized, oh no, what did I do? I made a mistake. The halacha is really like Rabbi Akiva. So the rav made a real big mistake. And he has to go to the balabas and tell him, I made a big mistake. And I reverse my decision because this is the bottom line. This is the halacha. It's etched in stone. Halacha follows Rabbi Akiva, not anyone else. That's according to the first version. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Omar no Matin. Matin means, it's not mamish the halacha. It means privately. And Mat look at Rashi. It's a little bit. It wasn't Mat look at Rashi. Rabbi Yaakov Zikul Lav Halacha Mamish Paske. Elamatin Kam Matin Hahiro Achar Rabbi Yosi. Dafil Bokim Rabim. Do Eri Marina Liadam Yoch Las Sosk Rabbi Yosi. Avol Midrash Shapirke Beram Loydashinan. You don't publicly make an announcement. Well, Rashi learns that this issue over here of Rabbi Yosi is only in reference to Rabbi Yosi, not in reference to Rabbi Akiva, not in reference to Rebbe. Rashi is focusing on Rabbi Yosi. It's Matin. never will the Rabbanon get up in the Beis Medrash and expound publicly that we follow Rabbi Yossi, even when he argues against the Tzibur. Privately, if a student will come to the Beis Medrash and ask, what should we do? We'll tell them, you should follow the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. But they will never publicly announce, and put in writing, or put in a shir, that the Halacha follows Rabbi Yossi when he argues against a Rabbin. That's not like the first approach. The first approach is Halacha. That the Halacha, we will even darshan b'Rabbim that the Halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. The third opinion is, Rabbi Chanina Omar Nirin. Now, what does it mean, Nirin? Nirin means, look at Rashi, Oirui Nami Loi Marinan. Even if a student will come ask privately the Rebbe, how should we follow the halacha? They'll never tell a student to follow Rabbi Yossi when he argues against the Rabbin. However, if the student has already followed the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, already has acted, he already has done something, and now we want to know, should we reverse? Shall we force the student to undo what he has done to make it conform with the Shita of the Rabbanan? That we don't do. That's what it means. Nirin, Rashi, Ayru loy marinon, ve'im also k'Rabbi Yossi, loy mahadrin na'ovdu, we're not going to make him go back and undo what he has done. Okay, so this is Mor's Maskana. We have three Yisoides, three different rules, and we really want to focus primarily on the Chiddush of Rabbi Yossi. When Rabbi Yossi goes up against the Rabbin, how far do we go? Do we pass like Rabbi Yossi? Three different versions, either Halacha, version number two is Matin, version number three is Nirin. Okay, new Gemara. Koloshna Zama Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, exactly the way we learn the Gemara, he taught exactly like Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, he gave a shir and he just parroted everything that we just said. Mila b'mila. He learned every whole sugi exactly the way we told the sugi. Rashi ki hay lishma de itmar hach to Rabbi Yaakov Rabbi Zrika, just like Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Zrika, itmar na mi hach to Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi lamar halacha ulamar matin lamar nirin. He knows exactly the zolbazach. Okay, fine. Omar. Now we go to a new gemara, brand new gemara, fresh. Omar, it's similar in concept, but it's a new set of rules. We learned already three rules, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yossi. Now we go to a new set of rules involving Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Shimon. Let's see. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. It was very important to remember Rabbi Yochanan. That's a very important thing. The one that's making the statement is Rabbi Yochanan, because his name is going to come up over and over in the next daf.
He didn't make the statement.
New Gemara, no, that's finished. Omar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, period. No. You put a dot after Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, period. Isn't that what it says in the art scroll?
No, that's not what I have in here.
Kiloshan Hazer. No, it can't be. Let me see what it says over here. Kiloshan Hazer. One sec, let me find it in my Gemara. Wait, where is it in my Gemara here? Kiloshan Kol Shudram. My Hilchasamata can hear in. Kiloshan Hazer. Amar Yach Baridi. Amar, can you write? Okay, so it's a new Gemara. I made a mistake. Okay? Dvar Mishamarti, Lachem Tohos Heim Biyadi. Okay, I made a mistake. New Gemara. The new Gemara starts from... It starts from the following... Kalosh Nazem, I mean, that's the start of a new Gemara. Okay, new, brand new Gemara. So... Period. Okay, period. Kaloshoin Hazeh. Like the following Loshoin... Omar Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, Omar Rav Yochanan. What's the following issue? Okay, it's going to be the same different version, same different issue. Is it Halacha, Matin, or Nirin? So here we start. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. We have a disagreement between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Two Tanaim. Who do we follow? What's the rule in Shas? This is a Shas Sugya. What's the rule? Halacha, Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, that's the Ershta rule. Rabbi Yehuda will outwin over Rabbi Meir. Next, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so the winner in the first round was Rabbi Yehuda. But when Rabbi Yehuda goes up against Rabbi Yossi, Halacha Rabbi Yossi. The Ein Tzarech Loimar, Memelan, goes without saying, that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Meir was the weakest of the three, because Rabbi Meir against Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir lost. And when Rabbi Yehuda goes against the winner, goes against Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi wins. So Allah has kama kama, when Rabbi Yossi is going to go up against Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir is going to win, Rabbi Meir is going to lose. And Meir Rabbi Yossi, halacha Rabbi Yossi. Okay, because hash, makam Rabbi Yehuda, lesa, madach, makam Rabbi Yehuda, when Rabbi Meir argues with Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir does not stand a chance. Lesa. Now, what do we want this Gemara? We want this Gemara to go say that Rashi explains Kin Loshon Hazeh means we set out, we lay down the three rules. We lay down the three rules, and these three rules, and these three rules also are Halacha, Matin, and Halacha, Matin, and Nirin. Now, that's why the Gemara introduced this statement. With the word, that's why the Gemara introduced the statement with the words Kalosha and Hazeh, because just like in the previous Gemara, we have three different. Why do we need to know these rules? Are these rules etched in stone, or are these rules matin that we don't paskin berabim, but we only tell the people privately, or are these rules? We don't even tell people privately. It only means that after the fact, we don't reverse it. So that's what all the Gemara, what all Rashi wanted. When the Gemara started the second segment, the Rashi wanted to point out, Kaloshna Zem means that the same way above in the first set of rules, which Rabbi Akiva and Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi, there were three different approaches, Halacha, Matin, and Nirin. We have exactly the same principle when it comes to these three rules as well. Okay, now look.
According to the one who the Halacha comes out of, Rabbi Huda, over
BAC
and so on,
so is he older? Not necessarily. Omar Rabasi, now here we go. Omar Rabasi, af ani, I also have a chiddush to tell you. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, okay, another person. So far, we had Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi. We never heard of Rabbi Shimon. He's a newcomer to this equation. Af ani loymed. I also have teach gesundheit. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Machlokes, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. Halacha, Rabbi Yossi. We follow Rabbi Yossi. Diyam Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. We have Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Halacha, Rabbi Yehuda. We go like Rabbi Yehuda. Hashda. So since we know that we have Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, we go like Rabbi Yehuda. Hashda. We make Rabbi Yehuda less. Madach. Rabbi Shimon is weak. Is weaker than Rabbi Yehuda. Lesa b'makayim Rabbi Yossi mibaya. So lachas kam v'kama. When you're going to match up Rabbi Shimon versus Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi will win. Same exact rule. We have machlokes Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Who wins? Rabbi Yehuda wins. We have machlokes Rabbi Yehuda, who was the winner, against Rabbi Yossi. Who wins? Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is the ultimate winner. So he's the ultimate winner. Allah has kama v'kama. He will win over Rabbi Shimon. Same exact principle. Okay. He always wins. But now there's one loose end. We've introduced here four people in the second segment. Four people. And we've really made very clear who wins against who. There's only one loose end that has not been clarified. And that is, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, Mai. We have Machlokes, Rabbi Meir. He was the weakest of the first round. And Rabbi Shimon, he was the weakest in the second round. Mai. Between those two, which one wins? The Gemara's Teku. This Tishbi, Yitar, it's Kushus, Yabai, it's let it stand. We do not know the answer is. Okay? Seemingly yes. Mistam, yes. The halacha is not like him. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so we have over here, bottom line, we have over here in the second, it's a very, it's a murder Gemara, because this Gemara is something is imam, so you can memorize, you're really in good shape. You get a whole flavor in Shas. Four different Tanoim, Rabbi Meir on the lowest level. I don't mean lowest in a negative way, Chashom. I just mean in the Psak halacha, sometimes Adrab. The reason why you don't paskin like them is they're so great. Like, we're not roy to paskin like them, like Beishamai. Beishamai, they say when Mashiach comes, we'll follow Beishamai. Beishamai was in such a high madrega, the average person is not able to be Yerud Lusav Daita. Rabbi Yisrael was a Rav. Rabbi Yisrael, because it could be that Beishamai was a Yochid, but he was such a high madrega, the Olam could not relate to him. So the bottom line is...
And take
Because we don't know the answer.
Why do we live in Shas and see how it comes out?
Because there is no answer in Shas. You go through Shas, Shas never passes halacha. The Mishnais never passes halacha. And the Mishnais, they're just different opinions. And that's it. There's no pesach halacha. That comes later on. So the bottom line is, and you can remember, it's kedai to memorize on the first rung, the lowest level, and pesach halacha is Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. Ruba de Ruba, we never pass in like Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. They're always out. Whenever they're going to go up, they are. Then comes the second tier, is Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, Rabbi Yehuda, he always wins. When he's fighting with Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda's going to win. But when Rabbi Yehuda goes up against Rabbi Yossi, forget about it. Rabbi Yossi wins. He's the ultimate. For sure, Rabbi Yossi can win over Rabbi Shimon. Alachas kama kama. And then we also mentioned in above, the previous Gemara, Rabbi Akiva, he always wins. Mechave Roy. When he argues against the rabbi, he's out. But Rabbi Akiva will always win against the Yochid. We also learned
against Rabbi
Yossi.
Rabbi Akiva
won. No, Rabbi Akiva, possibly halach. Rabbi Akiva mechave roi. No limitation. Rabbi Yossi is so powerful; he always wins, even against mechave rov. Rabbi Yossi. That was the Gemara said. And the third one was, who's the third one? The third was Rabbi. Rabbi also wins mechave roi. Mechave roi, not mechave. Okay, so we have the basic yisoidas. New Gemara. Amar Rav Mishashia, along comes Rav Mishashia. Less nulahani klala. So Rav Mishashia makes a shocking statement, and this is the topic of the next daf. Halavai, we should finish all this very quickly. We should go through it very quickly. It's not so hard. It's a nice chazor of many sugis. Rav Mishashia says, less nulahani klala. Guess what? I disagree. I politely disagree. Respectfully disagree. Everything that's said above, these klum are not true. The Gemara says, really? Menolel Rav Mishashia ha. How does he know that these klolim are not true? Show me in a car that it's not true. So now the Gemara is going to really work. You get your money's worth. It's going to work very hard to find the makar that these klolim are not true. These rules of pesach halacha. Now here we go. Menoilei mamichod ramei the following mishnah. B'shem b'shem it says l'mad avloi me'al l'gidloi me'lagim l'chatzeros apsuchos l'zuluzu ubsuchos l'rishus harab. Now this is the reason why we have this sugi in this Gemara. The only reason why we learned this shigul Gemara with these last couple of lines is because we're about to go learn right now. And this is a chazer from the mishnah. What was the mishnah? The mishnah discussed a case where three people fell asleep in the street, in the field, on Friday afternoon. Three people. And they woke up after Shabbos began. So they were sleeping during the time of Bein HaShemashos. So the halacha, let's follow the Shidah of the Rus. We are halacha l'mayitz, we're very leaning past like Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri. Halacha, k'tiv ha-meikul be'eriv, you can go and you can walk, yeah, everyone has 2,000 amas. But the Rabbanon in the Mishnah Chilek on Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri, when they paskin, each person only gets dalet amas. Since they were sleeping, what does each person do? Each person draws a box around himself, and he only gets dalet amos. Now, what happens if two people are 4 amos apart? If two people and they're 4 amos apart, each one draws a box around themselves, 4 by 4. So the two boxes touch each other, but there's no overlap. There's no overlap. They cannot share. They cannot walk into each other's box. If each one has property, if I have a canteen of water and you don't, and you're thirsty, can I hand my canteen of water over my box into your box? No. It's yomtiv, so you can carry. No. Why? Because just like I can't walk more than dalet amos, my property, my canteen cannot go more outside my box, and therefore it's too bad for you. We fell asleep, I have my box, I have your box, and we touch, but we don't overlap, you can't take mine. Let's say in between me and you, there's another guy who's right in the middle. So there's like two and two. There's Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Two and two. So the middle guy, he overlaps with both. So the middle guy can take a stick, can take from Reuven and from Levi, because Shimon can take over, he overlaps, as long as he's careful not to go past where he, but they overlap, so the one that overlaps is okay, very good. That's what it says in the Mishnah, and there is no one that disagrees with this halacha. If you have three people and they overlap, the middle guy overlaps, so the middle guy can take from both from one and three, but the two outer ones, 1 and 3, cannot go share with each other. Now, here, let me just tell you more out there very quickly. The Gemara, along comes Rabbi Shimon.
But they have
people. Wait, wait. What?
Two
amas apart from each other. Yes, because let's assume, for the sake of, so yes, exactly, yes. Yes, when they fell asleep, exactly. They're lying down flat, they're two amas away from each other, exactly. It's a very rare case, but it's theoretically it's possible, absolutely. A lot of things in halacha are very, 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 very bizarre, but practically speaking, it can happen. That's halacha, fine. Now, here's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon goes, this is a little tricky, a little delicate more, let's extrapolate. Let's discuss a new case. A new case is at Shabbos, and we have three courtyards. Railroad courtyards. I mean, railroad courtyards, like rail cars, where one leads into the other. So there are three courtyards, Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. They're all next to each other. Aleph and Beis make a Ruvi Chatzeros. Beis and Gimel make a Ruvi Chatzeros. So the bread for Aleph and Beis is in the center, and the bread from Beis and Gimel is in the center. So what is the halach? So Rabbi Shimon says, this case is identical to the case of the three people who fell asleep Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas. The guy in the middle courtyard, overlaps with courtyard 1 and courtyard 3. And therefore, the courtyard in the middle can walk, can share, can carry back and forth into courtyard 1 and into courtyard 3. And courtyard 1 can carry into courtyard 2 and courtyard 3 can carry into courtyard 2. But, what's the big but? Courtyard 1 cannot carry into courtyard 3 and courtyard 3 cannot carry into courtyard 1. How do I know this is true? It's Farish Mishnah. It comes to Al Mishnah when there are three people who fell asleep. And the middle guy overlaps, so one and two is mutter, two and three is mutter, but one and three is also. So exactly the same principle, right? And that's what Rabbi Shimon says. Look, I have him a car for this halacha. The Rabbanon come along, shocking as it may be. We disagree with you, Rabbi Shimon. We disagree. We agree when it comes to the law of Erevin, 1, 2, and 3 overlap, 2 is okay. But now when it comes to Ruvi Chatzeres, because a Ruvi Chatzeres, you're not dealing with one person. You're dealing with a group. Courtyard 1 is not one person. Courtyard number 1 can be 10 people. Courtyard 3 can be 20 people. Courtyard 2 in the middle can be 15 people. If you're going to allow courtyard 1 and 2 to carry among themselves, and you're going to allow courtyard 2 and 3 to carry, people are going to get very confused. When you're dealing with a large number of people, they get very confused. They go, oh, I can go carry. They'll see the guy in courtyard number 1 says, oh, I can go to courtyard number 2. And when I come to courtyard number 2, what do I see? I see someone from courtyard number 3 carried into courtyard number 2. Well, my friend in courtyard number 2, he carried to courtyard number 3. If he can go there, and I can go here, you know what? I can go from courtyard 1 to courtyard 3. Where I can go from courtyard 3 to courtyard 1. So the Rabbanan say, you know, it's not a good idea. People get very confused very easily, and therefore we're not going to allow this. I don't go bring me a raya, Rabbi Shimon, for the case of the three people who fell asleep when Yonder began, because he dealt with three people. Three people, they can keep track. But courtyards, you can't keep track. So this was the debate between Rabbi Shimon and his Bar Pilukta. Who is the always the antagonist of Rabbi Shimon? Who's always fighting with him? Rabbi Yehuda. They always fight. Rabbi Yehuda, Bisham Besilo, they're always fighting with each other. They're always fighting. Yochanan Mishlakish, they're always adversaries. They're always fighting with each other. So since Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter, and the Rabbanon say it's also, who is the Rabbanon? The Rabbanon is going to be Rabbi Yehuda. Now we just learned 2 minutes ago when Yamachloikis, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon, what do you passing like between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? Who wins? Rabbi Yehuda. So, do we know the Psak Halacha? We surely do. We just learned the Gemara, right? We learned the Gemara. We learned the Klalim. We know the Klalim. So now, on our own, no one needs to tell me that we're going to Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter to go from 1 to 3. Rabbi Yehuda says it's Aser. What's the Halacha? It's Aser. Right? Close case. You don't need to tell me anything. So let's see the Gemara now. Now that's a whole lot down the bar. Here we go. One more time from the Amr of Shasha. Less nu lahani klale. Beno leilu of Shasha ha. Ilem mechadam lenu mishnah. Rabbi Shimon oimer. What is it comparable to the case? What is the case of the people that I was sleeping? Was it comparable to the case of l'doim l'gimachatzeros? Habsuchos zo l'zo. Habsuchos l'reshuv sarabim. Ervu The two outer ones, one and three, and Erev Chatzis with the middle one. He, number two, is Mutares Imohen, the Hein Mutares Imoh. But Ushtai Machitzani Asatsuro Zoim Zo. V'yom Rav Chama Bar Gurya Omar Rav. That's the sheet of Wahu of Rabbi Shimon. And the Chachomim disagree. V'yom Rav Chama Bar Gurya Omar Rav Halacha K'Rabbi Shimon. The Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Oh, look at this shocking statement. Shocking. Rabbi Shimon. Now the Gemara right away jumps in. Uman Polagle Alei, who argues Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Yehuda. But didn't we learn V'Amar to Rabbi Yehuda V'Shalach Rabbi Yehuda? El Olav Shmamina. This is gold. Less Mula. That the Klolim are incorrect. Here we have a candidate. Here we have a Klol Raya. That the Klolim we said above are not correct. The Gemara says it's not a Raya. My kusha, what's the kasha? Dilma hechiditma, itma hechidloitma, loitma. It's not a kasha. Einachanami, ruba de ruba. Whenever it doesn't say otherwise, then the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. But there are exceptions. There are always exceptions. Except when there's an exception to the exception. But there are always exceptions. And therefore, where it explicitly says there's an exception, there's an exception. So it's not a stira. This is the exception. But still, generally, the rule is, you know, maybe 100 other times in Shas where they argue. So you maybe have one or two exceptions, but Rubin Rubin is going to follow Rabbi. So we have not a right, so it's not a kasha. So therefore, the ball, the question, the attention is now turned once again to Rav Mishrashia. Show me that the klal is not a true klal. You found one case. Yeah, this case is the exception. Show me. Because there are exceptions. The previous Gemara does stand. No, the previous Gemara never meant 100%. It meant 98%. 98%. No, so it's not a kash. The Gemara is saying it's not a kash. You can't go make a statement that the klolim are wrong, are incorrect. They're not incorrect. The klolim are accurate 98% of the time. So if 98% is good enough. So therefore the question of Ella, so we're back. So now the Gemara goes to another. Here's the example. Here's the following makar. Ear new sugya. Now this is a very complicated sugya. This halachalam, this no halachalam maisa, the sugya. However, we don't pass like Rashi in the parish of the Gemara. So we'll know now, for the sake of simplicity like Rashi, what this means. Ear shall yachid. Ear shall yachid. Rashi here is not explained by the Gemara, is explained later on. Chaf tells us to go look in the last nun tests. So we'll come to it later on, but the basic insight is ir shel yachid. Ir shel yachid means it's less than shishim riboy. Okay? Less than 600,000 people. A city that's a kuna again, this is, don't get carried away halakha l'maisa, because we're going to learn the Gemara, the Mishnah, the Fishitas Rashi, and the Gemara is going to make certain statements which have to be explained on the phone. We're not going to go into the nitty gritty details of what Rashi means. And even if you go and you'll figure out what Rashi means, what the Gemara Rashi says later on, it doesn't make a difference anyway, because halakha l'maisa shulchan aruch, we don't paskin like Rashi's interpretation of the Gemara. We pass halakha l'maisa like other Rishonim. There are many other Rishonim who learn Pshat in the Gemara, and Shulchan Aruch paskins the halacha based upon the interpretation of other Rishonim. So don't hold me down, and don't get carried away with halacha l'maisa from this statement. But we have the ear shel yachid. According to Rashi, that means it's less than shishim riba. So it's not a rishus harabim de'oy raisa. It's not shaykh. Not only is it not shaykh raisa, it's not even shaykh to be a rishus harabim de'oy raisa, because you don't have the numbers. Even if you have 600,000 people, according to Rashi, it does not automatically mean that it's just around the Raisa. You have to have other conditions. You have to have a street that's mefulish, 60 amos wide. If you have a city that has millions of people, and every single street is less than 60 amos wide, every single street is less than 60 amos wide, you don't have in the city a Rishus Haram Deraisa. Oh, but there are 600,000 people. Yeah, that's just one condition. There are more conditions to make it into a Rishus Haram Deraisa. Okay, so ear shel yachid, an ear that's less than 6 shishim riboy, the naseis shel rabim. It turns into, and now all of a sudden the population explodes, and we have rabim. So the halach is, go right in, you can make an eruv. You want to make an eruv chatzeros? You want to make an eruv, you want to carry? Gesundheit, carry there. Oh, but there are shishim ribu. So what? Shishim Ubu, as long as you don't have six and they don't have, as long as you fulfill certain condition, which is not our sugi now, you can continue making an Eruvei Chatzeros. Marvinas Kula. But, here's a very big but, Shel Rabim. But what happens if you start out with a city that has Shishim Ubu? So there's a takana, you cannot make an Erev according to Rashi in a city that has more than 600,000 people, no matter what. You can't make an Erev, no matter what. Shel Rabim, Venaseh Shel Yochid, and then over time the population diminishes, and now you only have 50 people living in the city. Ein Ma'arvin Eskula, you can't make an Erev. Irshal exploded. You can't make an Erev, because since once it started out in a situation where you can make an Erev, it never loses that status. You always can make an Erev, even if now the population explodes to more than Shishim Riboy. But if you start out with a city that has more than Shishim Riboy, and then the halacha is, according to Rashi, let's take it as a given, that if the city starts out with Shishim, where you cannot make an Eruv Echatzeros, an Eruv, and then the population gets smaller, gets less, and it's less than Shishim Riboy, you can still not. Once you can't, in the beginning you can never. And Rashi learns because we're afraid that if once upon a time there was Shishim Riboy, maybe in the future the population will swell, will go back to Shishim Riboy, and then they're going to have an Erev, there's going to be a big fight, but we had an Erev last week, why this week different, there's going to be confusion. So the rule is, if you start out in the very beginning with a situation where there's no Erev, that's it, it's all for good. Fine. Now, Ella, there is an exception. Yeah, if you want to do it, you can do it. Unless you leave, now this is the Yalach HaMaisa, you leave out, you have an Irshal Rabim, and it becomes less than Shishim Riboy, you can make an Erev if you don't make the entire city. You leave out a segment of the population that's not included in the Erev. That's the Yalach HaMaisa. You make an Erev in Zman HaZen, a metropolitan area, there must be a part of the city that's not part of the, an area in the city that's not part of the Erev. It's usually not a problem because you always have, you know, the railroad tracks don't go to the end of the world. There's always going to be some people on the other side of the railroad track, so it's usually never a problem. But this is an interesting halacha in the Halon Shulchan Aruch. There has to be a part that's not. That's not. Elim kein esa chutzula. What?
You see what happens when you live on the wrong side of the track.
Okay. Elim kein esa chutzula. Now, how many people? Here is the big debate, which we get machlokes between different tanoim. How many people must be left out of the Erev in order to be a good Erev? Okay, you have an Irshal Rabim, which now got less, so you can make an Erev, provided there are people that are left out. How many must be left out? Ki Ir Chadosha Shebi. The Ir Chadosha is not the name of a new city. That was the name of the city. There was a city called Chadosha. Chadosh, that was its name. Chadosha, right. That's the name of a city, and how he will live there? How Sheyeshba Chamishim Diorin. It happened to be that in that city the census was, there were 50 people living there. It's an example to remind you how big it was. So 50 people must be left out of the Erev in order to be matter you to make an Erev in such a city, in order to remind people that there does exist such a thing that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. It's a very big danger. If you live in a community where you have an Erev your entire life and you don't know very much, you won't even know that on Shabbos you can't carry. Because
yeah.
I live my whole life in a community where every single Shabbos is an Erev. That's how I grew up. What? You can't carry on Shabbos? Who told you this? Yeah. Who told you this? So Chazal were concerned for such a thing. And therefore, there are people on the other side of the fence that can't carry. Also, you'll know about it, so that then it's okay. How many people cannot be part of the Erev? Like the number of people living in the city called Chadosha, 50 people. Okay, who says this? Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says, you don't need so many, it's enough. Shalosh Chatzeros, Shal Shnei Batim, all you need is six. Three, and each three you have to have two people. So three times two is six. Six families, six people is enough. That's all you need. Two, but there must be courtyards, real courtyards, and each courtyard has at least Shnei Batim. So it's a Machloikis. Who's the Machloikis? So here we get into the names. A Machloikis, you can't get better than this. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. What's the klal? Machloikas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Rav Chamar Gur Yomar Rav Halacha Rabbi Shimon. But it's not like it in. Uman Polagal Rabbi Yehuda Viyamar Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yehuda. What's going on? So the Gemara says, "My kushya." This also is another exception. My kushya. Dilmacha Hachanam Hechadid Midma Hechadid Hechadid Loit Ma Loit. This is another exception. Okay, so it's safe. So far, so good. Two kashas, two strikes, but we were able to avoid the two strikes. Elamaha. Let's now go to the next kashan. Now here we have a halacha. Eruv this very nogel lachol ma'isa. Eruv chatzeros. You have a courtyard. Let's say the lachol ma'isa b'zan hazeh. But you have a courtyard. Unless you have 10 people living in the courtyard, everyone must contribute towards the eruv chatzeros. Let's say one guy forgets to contribute. He forgot. He did not give his bread, his matzah towards the eruv. All other 9 people basically are stuck. Because one guy forgot to contribute. So on Shabbos, this is a takana, he can be mivatel rishus. But let's say he's not here. He skipped out. He went to another city. He went to another neighborhood. He went away for Shabbos. So he's not available to be mafkir his rishus. If a person, you have an area, you have a community of 10 people, and one person forgets to contribute, there's a takana, he can what's be called be mivatel his rishus. On Shabbos, he makes declaration, I'm mafkir my house. But he's not here. You know why he's not here? He went to his Aden for Yom Tov. He went to another city. He went to another neighbor. He's not around. Let's say about a guy. If you have a courtyard, you have 10 Jews, 9 Jews and 1 guy. So you have to do Schiras Makam. You have an apartment building, you make it over Chatzeres. You have to go to the guy, you have to rent his Rishus. You got to give him some money. He has to give you rights to his Rishus. Schiras Makam in order to do have an area of Chatzeres. Let's say the guy is not here for Yom Tov. He went away. He's out of town. So now the 9 people did not, they never rented from the Rishus. So what do? They're stuck. Okay, so that's the halacha. Now, we're going to have a very big shayla. Why, just because the guy or a Jew left, why should that be a problem? If they're definitely not coming back, it shouldn't be a problem. Because if they're not coming back, it's as if they don't exist. What's the whole reason why you need Erev Chatzeres? Because he can't go into a private Rishus to a Rishus that's shared by a Tzibur. But the guy is not going to be here for Shabbos. The Jew's not going to be here for Shabbos. If they're not going to be around for Shabbos, so they don't exist. What exactly? So what's the problem? So just to lay out some principles, the Jew might come back.
The Jew,
the guy also might come back. It depends where. If the Jew went to his son-in-law in Borough Park, and he's the Erev is in Flatbush, who's stopping him from walking? It's only a 20-minute walk. He'll be able to come over. 20, 30...
It's a different concept.
What? So what? But he might come back. That's when if the Jew went to Cleveland, he went to Los Angeles, he's not coming back on Shabbos. That's for sure. He's not coming back. A guy has no limitation. Even if a guy went to Japan, or Japan may be a little bit far away, but if a guy went out of town, the guy can get on a plane and can come back here. So a guy may be worse than a Jew. So here we have Machlokes. The basic story is we have a courtyard. Someone did not participate, they left. And now we want to know what to do. Is their absence a problem? So here we go. The Tzadam Niach, so a person abandons his home. We're 4 lines from the top. He goes away. He leaves his home. He goes away. A different city. Now that means he's very, very far away. He's not really coming back. Tanakama says, Echad Nochri, the Echad Yisrael, it doesn't matter, Oyser. It doesn't matter. Just because the Jew is not coming back, just the fact that he owns rights in the courtyard is enough to be a problem. He did not participate in the Erev, it's a problematic. Who says this Chumrah? Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, we know, is the lowest rung on the ladder. He's always going to be knocked out in there. He's the lowest against everyone else. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, what does he say? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no big deal. If you'll skip town, I'm not in this ear, I'm in a different city, good, you're not coming back. You're not a problem. Everyone else in the courtyard can carry on Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi Omer, he's the best, right? We always pass like Rabbi Yossi. He makes up Shara, Nochri, Oyser, because a guy may come back. There's nothing stopping a goy from getting in his car, getting on an airplane, and coming back on Shabbos. Yisrael ain't oiser. Why? Because a Jew is not going to travel on Shabbos. Okay, now we come to opinion number four. Rabbi Shimon Omer. If all four, you look at this amazing brayso. This brayso presents for us all four. Imam Hashem, all four in one shot. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu iniach es beis. Avach lishvos etzel bitoi. He's extremely lenient. Even if the Yisrael went next door, the courtyard next door, it'll take him 10 seconds to hop over the fence and come from next door, from the courtyard that's next door, and come to this courtyard. But for this Shabbos, where is he sleeping? He's sleeping by his daughter in the next courtyard. Also, in Oyser, why? It's a mindset. Shekvar hisiach daitai. He has decided, he has made a conscious decision, I'm not coming back for Shabbos. Now, the Omar, now the Omar, now we have four opinions. Now what are you going
to
tell me?
Same way apply to Yom.
Yes, yeah, same thing. So now what are you going to tell me now? Well, then you got to carry. You don't really need to make it over Chatzeres and Yom. Now what are you going to tell me over here in this halacha, in these cases? What are you going to tell me? Who are we going to pass it like? What's the answer? We have four opinions. Halacha follows who? Rabbi Yossi, right? That's the klal, right? So look at this shocking statement. Who argues here, Rabbi Yehuda? Now, the Gemara really could have asked better, Rabbi Yossi. Now, I do not know why the Gemara, I really don't know what about Rabbi Yossi. How come Rabbi Yossi is not mentioned? So why don't we focus on Rabbi Yossi? Man poligale Rabbi Yehuda. Man poligale Rabbi Yehuda. How come I didn't notice when I prepared? Let's see over here, Rashi. Nachri. Rabbi Yossi nami poligale elachat. So Rashi, yes, my kash. See, I'm a lock. Rashi, yes, my kash. Rashi said, Nachlam, the Gemara could have also... The Gemara, yes, Rashi's kash. So thank you, it's 100%. Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Achas v'sham. So over here in Achnami, so the Gemara could have asked, we go like Rabbi Yossi. But the Gemara just in order to keep the style of the Gemara the same, so the Gemara just asked one of many questions. But did you not teach us a few months ago, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Allah, Rabbi Yehuda? So let's go, we have a kasha. So the Gemara, same exact answer. Same exact answer. My kushya dilma hechacha nami hechaditma itmar hechad loyitma loyitmar enochnami. Third time we're giving the same answer. The third time we're doing exactly the same thing. That this is an exception. The klal is still correct. We have klalim, but even though we find three examples where we're not following the klal, these are exceptions. It's not the norm. Okay, vaita. Ella meha. So now the Gemara. Okay, let's go to the fourth attempt. Now we're going to attempt number four. Meha. It's not. We have an example where a person is on the road. Now a very wealthy person, a multi-billionaire. He doesn't have on him any cash. And you don't any cash or any food. You're right, you're traveling on the road and all of your assets are tied up in stocks and bonds and you don't have anything in your pockets. Okay? And you don't even have a piece of bread. You don't even have a piece of bread, a Danish to eat. Nothing. And you're on the road, it's Erev Shabbos, and it's Shabbos is about to begin, and you want to be kind of Shvisa. So you're a multi-billionaire, right? You have assets all over the world. But right now, I got nothing, I don't have any bread. So as far as halacha is concerned, the person is an oni. And a meila, he can be kind of shvitsa with his presence, where he stands. I'm standing here in this spot, I'm going to be kind of shvitsa. Now, here's our dilemma. Let's say a person is sitting in his palace. Okay, he's a multi-billionaire, he has in his palace food, kesuda shlema b'shaitai. And he has money and he has food and he wants on Shabbos to go 4,000 amos. Is he mechuyif now Erev Shabbos to put out his bread? Or can he decide, you know what? I don't want to put out bread. I want to go there and stand there. I'm an usher. I'm a real usher. I'm no excuses. I have plenty of food. So do we allow him? Do we allow an usher to be shoyves biraglof? The typical halacha is you make a kashmis with bread. But we do know one thing is for sure. If you're stuck and you are a real ani, even a rich man who is presently an ani, for sure can be shoyves biraglof. The Gemara's dilemma is, what about a real usher who has food in his house, and now it's Erev Shabbos, and he wants to be shoyves biraglof, he wants to go for a walk Erev Shabbos and stand there, he doesn't want to use bread. Is he allowed to do so? So this is a machlok. Some learn that this halacha of shoyves biraglof is a leniency that was only said for unusual circumstances, for a real poor man who doesn't have bread, or for a person who's rich, but at this moment in time he's without this asset, without bread. But if he's a real usher and he has bread, he just wants to take advantage of Mishavis Paraglav, in that case we're not going to be so generous. So that's our dilemma. So let me hold it down. Zelshav, in the case where you're stuck on the road and you don't have food, that's a case everyone agrees. Lesman the Polik Shamru Haani Mari Paraglav. Now the Gemara goes right, the price goes right. Rabbi Meir, Meir. Okay, remember the names. Anu, with regard to us, our tradition is Ein Lanu Elo Ani. The only one who's allowed to make an erev with his feet, with his makayim, is a poor man. But a rich man that has food in his kitchen and now is coming to ask a shayla, can I go for a walk or must I take bread? He's not allowed to. Rabbi Yehuda, who we know is more powerful than Rabbi Meir, what does he say? Oimer, no problem. Echad ani v'echad asher, it's mutter. It's mutter. Lo yamru marvim b'pas. If you want the chatchila, you can make it in with your feet. This halach of making bread, that's the leniency. Because of a real asher, we tell him, you don't have to be matriach to go out and go for a walk. Send a servant and have him put down the bread on your behalf. But if you want to go ahead and go stand there, go for a walk, gazun to hate. So Rabbi Yehuda is lenient in this regard, and he allows anyone who wants to take advantage and use his feet instead of using bread can do so. And Adarabba.
That's such a Gemara much earlier.
Okay, fine. But we think using bread is only was created as a leniency that you don't have to go there. You can send your bread and in your place. Rabbi Meir Omer on Meir Omer in on Rabbi Yehuda Omer echad ani v'echad asher lo yamru abav b'pasal hakel al asher shliyetsi v'yar beraglof. Now, okay, machlokes. Now, if we would stop here, what would you pass? Now, would you passkin? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Alacha, Rabbi Yehuda, right? Clear cut. You can do it. Umas nilos. Here's the kash. This is the fourth kash. The fourth attempt. Umas nilos. Rabbi Chibarashi, Lchibar Bar Rav Kamed Rav. So Chibarashi taught Chibarav in the presence of Rav. In the presence of Rav. It's very important now. Rav. Because one thing I have to remind you is that we started the Gemara. Who was the one who made the Klalim? Who was the one? It's a very Gvali Gemara to know for Shas. We're learning over here, Tzmamish, Nogeh, Kemat, every daf in Shas, these ideas. Who said the statement here? Who's the one that said the Klalim? Rabbi Yochanan. The Hiluk of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was Mamish, the Rabban Shal Eretz Yisrael. Right, Rabbi Yochanan was mamish the Rav. They said he wrote the Yerushalmi. I think they attribute much of the Yerushalmi to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was the Rabban Shel Eretz Yisrael. Rav was his contemporary in Bavel. So Rav was mamish the Gadol Hadar in Bavel. Leumas Rabbi Yochanan the Gadol Hadar in Eretz Yisrael. Very often we have a machlokes Amoraim. Yeah, these are not Amoraim. These are not Tanoim.
Right.
These are the early Amoraim between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Who do we passkin like? We have machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, like the Babylonian or the Eretz Yisrael digger. Eretz Yisrael. You follow Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so very important club. Besides all these clubs, we have Rabbi Huda, Verish, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Shimon, and then Rabbi Yossi. We have another important thing to keep in mind is this machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan. The one who told us the klalim was who? Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Mishrashya says that these klolim don't make any sense. Forget about it. It's off. We're desperate to find the makar why. So in the process of bringing down a brisa, we have machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, and we know on our own that according to Rabbi Yochanan, how do we pass? Can we pass him like Rabbi Yehuda? And we have a story. Umasin lo Rabbi Chiba Rashi lechiba Rav kamei drav echod oni v'echod asher. Then he paskin like Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Yehuda, right? Like Rabbi Yehuda. The Omar lay Rav, and when Rav was listening to the conversation, Rav said, "Siim bonami halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda." Don't just say that the halacha is both an oni and an asher can do this, even an asher. The halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. Wow. Now, that's very good, right? At first glance, that's gevalda. Because exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said. Problem is, we don't need a Rav to reinforce the obvious. If the klal is, these are general klolim in Psak Halacha, that we follow the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, there is no need for Rav to speak up. And by the way, we're paskin in this instance like Rabbi Yehuda.
What? You say that only makes Rabbi Yehuda stronger.
It's self-evident. No, he didn't waste his words. If these klolim are correct, it's self-evident. It's not necessary for him to make the statement. So, Tarti Lomeli, why do we need Rav to reinforce the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan? Tarti Lomeli, V'Amar to the Meir, didn't we learn above? Rabbi Yochanan taught us, Rameir Rabbi Yochanan, Yehuda Loch Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, so therefore, so what do we say? The fact that Rav is making this statement is an indication that the halacha isn't, that these klolim are not true. And it's in this instance only when we're coming to Paschal like Rabbi Yehuda. So here, L'chor, a very good Raya, Rav Mishrashya has shown us very clearly, Les nuhu lahane klolim d'Rabbi Yochanan. These klolim are off. They're wrong. They're wrong. My proof is, we have here machloikis with regard to being ma'orid beraglov, Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda, kenen o'shibor beraglov. Rav was listening to a conversation when the Talmidim were discussing this, and the Talmidim said the halacha is that, yes, an osher can be more beraglov, and Rav spoke up and said, yeah, you know why? Because in here we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. That's superfluous. Of course, if the klolim are correct, it's obvious we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. We know the klolim. The fact that he made this statement indicates that there are no such klolim. And it's only in this case we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. But generally, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, you're right. You're right. From this statement, it's clear as day that Rav did not hold of the klolim. But that's Rav. Rav never holds of Rabbi Yochanan says. Rav and Rabbi Yochanan are always fighting with each other. My kushya, Dilma Rav less lay lohani klole. We're not following Rav. We're following Rabbi Yochanan in a chanami. We are following the general run of the mill. Hamoinam. Whenever there's machlis with Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, we follow Rabbi Yochanan. So if the klolim are correct, automatically the klolim. If Rabbi Yochanan makes a statement, automatically those are the klolim. You want to bring me a riot that Rav says the klolim are wrong. There are no such klolim. You can't bring me a riot from Rav. Rav is the bar plukta Rabbi Yochanan. Rav always says the opposite of Rabbi Yochanan. So that's not relevant to us. We are following, we are the students, we are following in the thought of Rabbi Yochanan. And we want to know, even among the students of Rabbi Yochanan, we want to know if these klolim are correct. You want to go be right from Rav? Rav is of course going to tell you that Rabbi Yochanan is not correct. We want to go in the Talmid and Rabbi Yochanan. Like a machlek is the chassidim and the grah. So you then bring me Raya. The Gra says Faket. Of course the Gra says Faket. If you'll bring me from the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, then they also say Faket. Oh, that's a different story, right? Because you want to, did the Baal Shem Tov say such a thing? Says, well, the Gra says Faket. What's the Raya? Of course. But you'll show me one of the Baal Shem Tov's Talmidim said, oh, that's a red. We're talking business.
Right.
Same exact thing over here. You can't bring me Raya from Rav. Okay. So therefore, strike four. Okay, so we've already gone through four strikes. Next, now we go to Elamehos. Now we go to number five. Okay, 10 minutes ago, let me hold down the 5 line Mishnah, Yivama, and this is a very big sugya. Yivama, husband dies, she wants to remarry, she has no children, she wants to remarry, she wants to chalitza, she wants to yibum, she has to wait at least 3 months. Adji lo shloisha chadashim, 3 months, because one and eight, one yibum, because if she'll have yibum within 3 months and she'll get pregnant, we will not know if the child was from the first husband, and that would then mean that she's living in sin, because then she really has a child, therefore she's not going to be with her husband. Or maybe the child is from a second, we have no way of knowing because he needs 3 months.
Right.
And once she can't do yibum, so maybe you can't do chalitza, chalitza separation. But that's a sugya to itself, because the laws of chalitza are directly related to the laws of yibum. You can't do yibum, you can't do chalitza, there's more to it, because you can make a mistake in the future, whatever it is, but there's no chalitza. And then vayta, v'chein shokol noshim, all other women, lo yinasu, if their husbands die, they may not get nisuin, which means yichud, with this potential to have a child. And v'lo, here's a chiddush, v'lo yisors, why not? They can't even have erisin with another man. Erisin, there's no possibility that there's no possibility to have a child
right.
Having erisin. Erisin just means they're married, but they're not living together. So it's not shachli to be a chashash of a child. Doesn't matter. It's a chumrah. Whether the woman is a besula, which her husband died, and they only had eris, the first marriage was only erisin. Certainly, if the woman is not an arusa, she was a nesua from the first marriage, then there's a real chashash, a real concern also. Echad almanois, whether the husband died, echad gerushas, whether they got divorced, echad arusas, echad besuas, this is a repetition, all these examples, it doesn't make a difference, according to the Tanakhama. So the Tanakhama basically is extremely machmir. There is no hechatimsa that we allow a woman to marry another man after she departs from her first husband unless 3 months have passed, under any circumstance. Doesn't matter. In any circumstance, doesn't make a difference. There's no way she's marrying in any shape or form. Rabbi Yehuda Meir, no, not so fast. Amekel. Nisuais yisarsu. If the woman's first marriage was to nisuin, then she can have erisin. Varusos yinasu. Chutz meruzah shabihud. The only exception, meruzah shabihud. Because even though they were not supposed to be together, there was always a concern that they were. Then they should leave a gospel, so it's problematic. And then we have Rabbi Yossi, we have to stop here. This is going to be the fourth, this is going to be the fifth kasha to show that the klolos of Rabbi Yochanan are less or not correct.